We are humbled in the presence of our God. Certainly should be thankful for another day on this earth, for all the many blessings as we have prayed together. I think how much that God loves us, that he would send his son to die a cruel and agonizing death on the cross for our sins. And you have the opportunity to remember that just a few moments ago. We hope and pray that each and every person was engaged in that effort and that desire to be pleasing to our God. As we think about doing things that are pleasing to our God, we're thankful, as Joe has prayed, for our faithful elders and their leadership and having the conviction to do what God says, even though many may frown upon that as far as the world goes, but with the desire for a soul to be saved and for discipline to be meted out, and to recognize that we're going to face the Lord in the judgment day one day, each and every one of us ourselves. And we want to be a church that belongs to Christ, and Christ is the head and we are the body. And if we don't listen to him, we could have our candlestick taken away in recognition of this body as a church. And so we want to do the things that are pleasing to God. So if you have any questions about that, please feel free to ask after services. We pray for Caroline to repent and confess her sins, to be restored, and pray for the Cronin family as they deal with this difficult time. Well, as you think about concerning our lives, that we think about singing songs like "He Gave Me a Song." He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. Well, think about a brighter day. Sometimes as we look upon our lives and they are filled with clutter, they're filled with things that pile up. And the whole thing is, as things pile up because of responsibilities, because of things in your life, that it becomes a mountaintop of difficult things to try to be able to clean out and clean up. You notice concerning the sermon, clean up your spiritual house with God's word. As you think about, sometimes you can see the physical things that are piling up, but the same thing spiritually, but it's not as clearly seen. But it is seen in bad attitudes and profane things, the way that we are living our lives. If we don't have that spiritual focus. But the thing is that we look upon our lives, we can neglect our responsibilities. Maybe we're suffering through illness, as so many have. There are accidents, surgeries, chronic illnesses, and all of that. Maybe dealing with persecution and suffering. And so the temptation is to neglect the things that are most important, neglect Bible study, neglect prayer to God through Christ, neglect to attend services as we should, as we recognize we're before our God, as we worship him in spirit and in truth, distracted by family, distracted by TV entertainment or other hobbies that leave you worried, guilty, depressed, or discouraged. We only have one life to live on this earth. And the thing is concerning, well, what do you mean by spiritual house as physical house? Well, we talked about the last couple weeks in two different parts concerning how does the Godhead dwell in us. We tried to point out concerning the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you think about, they're united in working for us. As God planned it, Christ executed, the Holy Spirit revealed his will to the holy apostles and prophets so that when we read it, we can understand it. It's the same way as we think about our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So as you think about, God was in the temple in the Old Testament, and that's where he dwelt. He dwells spiritually in those who are faithful to him, those who are holy. And give a few examples of what we see in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, we know that if the earthly tent, which is what? The earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with heavens, eternal in the heavens. Not made with hands, that should be. Eternal in the heavens. So as we think about concerning, we are tabernacled in the flesh. When Christ came on this earth, he was deity. He came in human form. He tabernacled among us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, as we think about our bodies being the temple of God, said, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As we've been studying our Bible class in the book of James, it's from the inside out. There are a lot of people who might be doing a lot of good things, but it doesn't start in the heart. Jesus dealt with a lot of his teaching and talking about the heart before the outward actions, because you see, the Pharisees are hypocrites. They're doing a lot of good things, outward standpoint, but they're doing them to be approved by people. We need to be approved by God, and that's going to start in the heart. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, we must recognize that we not only have a body, but we have a soul and spirit, which you can't physically see. Why? Because the Bible tells us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, the scripture says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about clean up your spiritual house with God's word, as we think about what is house concerning in our body, we need to clean up some things. First of all, concerning, I don't know what you're thinking, and you don't know what I'm thinking unless I'm revealing it. You can hear me right now. Concerning your thoughts, clean up your evil thoughts, for God knows all of them. Isn't that a scary thing? If we had on the screen concerning what was going through our minds, that would be very difficult for each and every one of us. We need to clean them up. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, as Jesus had healed an individual, and they're saying he's blaspheming because, you know, you're claiming to be God. And Jesus asked, why are you thinking evil? Notice it, in your hearts. They didn't say it audibly, but he knew their thoughts. In Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, well, many, when you think about concerning washing your hands, and physically that's a good thing to do, but spiritually that's not going to get you close to God. In the Old Testament, they would have their ceremonies where they would wash, and the Pharisees had these traditions, and they would bind it upon individuals and say, well, your disciples, they're sinning because they didn't wash their hands before they eat. And so Jesus teaches them this lesson. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from where? Come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart, here's the problem, come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So as you think about going along in society and looking at an individual to lust after them, Jesus said you committed adultery with them already in your heart in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 29. As you think about these evil thoughts or looking at pornography, lusting after others, or so angry that you would want to kill somebody. Remember, as you think about the Apostle John and what he said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. You hate your brother in your heart. It's just as bad as murder to God concerning your heart. Even before the physical act of adultery or fornication, sexual immorality, stealing from others. Talk about in Bible class concerning slander. Speaking evil against your brethren in James chapter 4 in verse 11 and 12. Concerning all these things, it starts in the heart. So as we think about concerning our deeds, We need to think about our thoughts first. Clean up your evil thoughts. Concerning, wait a minute, you know, I've got so many things going on in my life concerning how can you control these things. And just concerned, as you look upon the Pharisees, concerning their outward behavior. In Matthew chapter 23, in the series of rebukes that Jesus gave the Pharisees, he said, "What are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. How foolish it would be to think that, you know, you wash dishes, and well, I'm going to wash and make it all look pretty and clean on the outside. It looks so good, and here you got corruption on the inside, and it's unusable." Where we're unusable to God if we have evil thoughts, as you think about these penetrating our heart. Well, so what's going to help us to overcome and be able to put away these evil thoughts? Many times people don't want to look at God's word. Satan has got people in trap for, remember that the God of this world, talking about Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the glory of Christ. So the temptation is to just say, I'm going to forget about this. This is too difficult. This is too hard. I'm not interested in that. Look how powerful and penetrating the Word of God is. Not the preacher, only the preacher if the preacher is preaching God's Word. For in Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13, the Scripture says the Word of God is living and active. It's not a dead letter, as some would have you believe. Those who are skeptics, those who don't refuse to repent, those who don't want to do the will of God. It's living and active. For we serve a living God, and we have a living Word. How sharp is it? And sharper than any two-edged sword. How sharp is that? That's really sharp. Look at how far it pierces. Piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit. Can you discern between the soul and the spirit, which you can't see? The Word of God can. Of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The idea is that we're going to have to give account to. So as you might say, I'm going to try to cover up and make excuses for my sins. I'm going to try to run away and hide, like, you know, you think about Adam and Eve in the beginning trying to run away from God, and they couldn't run away from God when they had sinned. So, well, I was afraid, so I was naked, so I hid myself. And people try to hide themselves from God. God's word is able to judge even your thoughts. God knows all of them. But the comforting thing should be to each and every one of us, by God's word, you can be cleansed. You can be cleansed. How? Jesus had said to his apostles in John chapter 15, verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Now again, what we must understand the context, and not just because he had spoken them these words, but when you're abiding in him and his words abide in you, as you look upon the context of I am the vine and you are the branches. Notice, by God's word, you can be cleansed. Can you obey this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, which we're going to look at concerning taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ? How are you going to do that? Romans chapter 12, this is in the practical part of the book of Romans, where he's gone through the doctrinal part, and based upon everything that he had said up until that point. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, he said, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And here it is. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed" where? It starts in your mind, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you believe that? You live that out in your life concerning, man, I had all these evil thoughts corrupting my mind and perverting my mind, so I couldn't even focus on spiritual things. But now that becoming a Christian, being transformed in my mind every day of my life, as I recognize God's word is good and acceptable and perfect, it will help me to be complete, be mature. As we mentioned in Bible class, that we become more and more like Christ every day. And it begins in our thoughts. But what about the future? The future looks bleak. Inflation's high. People are concerned about politics and just hearing from some Christians, if the election doesn't go the right way, we're doomed. We're doomed as a country. It's all over. Not in God's kingdom, it's not over. As you think about concerning our mindset, what about as I'm getting older and I'm facing death and so many loved ones have passed away, and how am I supposed to look upon that? I'm going through pain, I'm going through suffering and agony. Well, without God, if there is no God, there would be nothing to look forward to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, think about everything that the Apostle Paul went through in preaching the gospel of Christ. Did he lose heart? Did he give up? Did he quit? As he went through prison and beatings, being stoned, being shipwrecked, without clothing and shelter, without food from time to time, his brethren, his concern for all the churches. No, he says, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is what? Is being renewed day by day. For a momentary light affliction. I want you to stop and think about everything that the Apostle Paul went through. And what was his perspective? Is that our perspective, momentary light affliction? What is it doing for us? What was it producing for him? What should it be producing for us? Producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Because what are we looking at? Are we looking at the things which we can physically see, or the things we can't see? That's going to determine concerning my outlook as far as my thoughts. By God's word, you can have clean thoughts. Because of what? Because we're looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then the next verse is the passage we had at the beginning. Yes, our earthly house can be torn down, but we have a house made with hands eternal in the heavens. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, all the promises that have been given in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 and following, we mentioned that in the last few weeks. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And it starts with our thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, when we are suffering the flesh, when we are persecuted, do we seek revenge upon others? Do we have hatred and malice in our hearts, bitterness concerning the way that things have turned out, and desire as we are in this world, beginning in our thoughts? Paul said we don't war that way. We're in a spiritual battle, as we're not going to try to duke it out with others and physically beat them up or beat them up with words. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. But what are they? Divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What is it able to do concerning God's word? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. There's a lot of things raised up against the knowledge of God today, isn't there? Just about everything that you can think of. From homosexuality to sexual immorality. As you think about concerning abortion, murder in the womb, As you can think about all these evil things, false doctrine, false teaching, marriage, divorce, remarriage, all these things raised up against the knowledge of God, and it's we can destroy everything that's raised up against it. And we are taking what? Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Do you believe that? By God's word, you can have clean thoughts. I recognize Satan is still going to tempt us. But the whole thing is that as we're going to have the attitude and mindset, when we have sinned, say, well, I've sinned so bad, so terribly, and I don't know how God would ever forgive me. In Christ, you can. And look at David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband murdered. He confesses his wrongs. He confesses his sin in Psalm 51, verse 10. Said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Our attitude and mindset concerning creating me, that clean heart, so my thoughts will be pure. Also, clean up your tongue. Look at all the things that God hates in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. You notice that several of them are concerning the tongue. There are six things which the Lord hates. He has seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. So you notice concerning that point, concerning what God hates. Concerning the tongue. And it's just so easy. Well, you know, it just slipped out. I wasn't meaning to say that as think about profane things. And as Kyle, I was already going to mention it, that when people say profane things, pardon my French, that's an offense as you think about it to God. It's not French to say a wicked thing, a profane thing. As you think about how important it is for the body of Christ to be united in the truth of God's word, and lies are spoken. Here are those who are gossiping and slandering their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's mentioned in Bible class. These are things that God hates. They're an abomination to them. Clean up your tongue. I need to clean up my tongue. For in the judgment day in Matthew 12, in verse 34 through 37, Jesus said these words, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? Where does your words come from? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. So if you hear anybody say, you know, they do they say an evil thing, well, that's just not me. That's not me. That's not me. It is. It is you. It is me if evil is coming out of my mouth. And the whole thing is that I need to say I'm sorry. I need to repent of that rather than make excuses or justifying or rationalizing that. Using God's name in vain. How many times is that used concerning as you look upon TV and in the movies and in music? Today, the filthy speech of saying concerning holy whatever or Jesus' name and adding to that or concerning Christ or God. And it's interesting concerning those who would say those things. A lot of people, they don't even believe there's a God at all, but they'll profane his name and God is living and he's hearing this. He's allowing them to live by his grace and by his mercy and by his long suffering. And the thing about it is, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh, well, preacher, that's just, Jesus isn't going to give us a command that we can't obey. So As you think about your speech and cleaning up your mind, and how many times concerning those who would say profane things pass, like I think about in the military, just curse like a sailor. Yes, I was a sailor. Yes, I cursed like a sailor. I obeyed the gospel and put those things away. But the whole thing is that as we look upon our lives, every careless word, how many euphemisms are used? Saying, oh my God, not like the psalmist and thinking about God, but just saying that in a surprise way or in a game show that you hear and just using it all the time and other euphemisms like that. Every careless word, God is going to judge every careless word. The danger of the tongue. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members. What does it do to the rest of the body? As that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. Where does it come from? And is set on fire by hell. When we studied with Kyle in the book of James chapter 3, he went into great detail upon that. Yes, can you tame the tongue? Yes, you can, but not on your own. With God's help, with God's word, as you think about it, becoming a Christian and praying to God for help and strength to be able to overcome the temptations of the devil and not make excuses or justify or rationalizing that. That's where we're going to be judged, by every careless word. So whether it's profanity, lies, or euphemism, deceit, strife, verbal abuse. You study with Kyle as far as talking down to others, looking at yourself from a superior position, thinking, well, I'm a Christian. Look at all these other wicked people. That's what the Pharisees did. We want people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, what do? We speak the truth in love. By God's word, you can be cleansed. And so, as Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, we have a filter concerning God's word. We think before we speak. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Sometimes that's difficult when you're under tremendous pressure, when you're being verbally or even physically abused in some way, when you're being persecuted. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. What do the wicked do? But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And sometimes, whether they desire it or not, they might even desire to hurt you. And sometimes, well, it just doesn't matter if I hurt you or not. They're just going to pour out whatever's going through their mind. As we think about concerning the heart, we need to have our heart trained by the Word of God. For how many times you hear in movies over and over and again, you know, quote unquote, clean movies. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Is a problem concerning the heart? Yes, the heart is deceitful above all else, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Our heart can be deceived. We need to be trained by God's word. He knows us inside and out. And has given us the means to whereby we can take every thought captive into obedience to Christ. And we can speak the truth in love. We can do that. For 1 Peter 3, verse 14 and 15, are you suffering for the sake of righteousness? We're suffering in this world. Even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, what are you? You are blessed. Do you remember that when people are speaking evil of you, when you're doing the right thing? We need to remember that. Our self-esteem needs to be based upon God's word. I want to speak the truth. Are you fearing their intimidation? We're commanded not to do that. Don't fear their intimidation and don't be troubled. What should you do instead? But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's where a lot of the problem is that people haven't sanctified Christ as Lord in your hearts. To recognize all that he has done for you, that God has done for you, that Christ has humbled himself. As we studied and toward much of the class, talking about humility, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you at the proper time. Generally, it's not going to be now, but the whole thing is that I want to do God's will. And so what am I going to do? It's preparing my heart. Here I'm training my mind, my heart, by God's word. And so my speech is clean. And here, always being ready to make a defense. To who? Well, just the people that you like, right? Or just your spouse and your children, your parents, family. Or, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, but your enemy? He said to everyone who asks you to give an account for what? For the hope that is in you. Do you have that hope? You have that hope of eternal life. You should want to share it with others, to speak the truth in love so that they might be saved. And here's so that the attitude and mindset, instead of being angry and being bitter, yet with gentleness and reverence, because that's how God's word has taught us to behave. And we see that in the example of Christ. In James 5, verses 19 through 20, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will do what? Will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So we're not going to say concerning the well, they're just unworthy. They should have known better. I told them over and over again, gave them all these good examples, and here they turned away and they're going to get what they deserve. What kind of attitude and mindset is that? The attitude and mindset that Christ has towards you and me? No. Thankfully, maybe a brother or sister in Christ has turned you back from the error of your way so that you didn't go down the path of wickedness and into eternal destruction. So the thing about it is, as James is teaching us here, a person needs to know that precious soul is worth it. Caroline is worth it. To try to turn her back if you have opportunity. The passage that we mentioned this morning, Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 in Bible class. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, what should you do? The whole thing is, if a person is fleshly minded, it's going to be problems. It's going to be trouble. Because it may be that person might say some things about all the other brothers and sisters in Christ. And now you have somebody who's fleshly minded joining in the chorus. I understand concerning here is someone who is righteous, doing the right thing, and warning about, hey, there's teaching going on there that's false and there's error being taught. I try to talk to him. And no, we're talking about somebody who has definitely trespassed God's word, not trespassed somebody's and violated somebody's own personality, or what they said, or what, that was just quirky. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, those who are spiritual. Remember, just a few verses before that, in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, the spiritual versus the works of the flesh. We don't have that passage here on the screen, but you can look back at that in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 23. The works of the flesh, which are evident, versus the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the production of fruit. And here is the spiritually minded person who's concerned about their precious soul. Restore such one in the spirit of gentleness. Each one look into yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Can you do that? Yes, by God's word, you can speak the truth. Then clean up your hands. Clean up your hands. When you think about dirty hands, we don't want to have dirty hands too long. We want them to be clean. We want to wash our hands. But we're talking in spiritual terms and figurative terms here. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he preached about Jesus, said, "This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross. By what? By the hands of godless men, and put him to death." Here, as you think about the godless men, I wouldn't know all the part of that. Oh, you said, "Let him be crucified." Here are godless men. Pilate tried to set him free. And yet, you were responsible for that. You look at the Jewish leaders. Those who are following Christ are going to be persecuted. The apostles, who are just carrying out the mission of Christ to preach the gospel to every creature. The Jewish leaders laid their hands on the apostles several times, put them in public prison. They were beaten. Preaching the truth that they had with wicked hands crucified the Son of God. Acts 4, verse 3, and Acts 5, verse 18, among other passages too. In James 4, verses 7 through 10, this is what we highlighted in the Bible class this morning for those who weren't here. "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Focus on this part. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." There is so much in just those few verses, which went into great detail in Bible class. So I'm not going to reiterate everything that's said there, but cleanse your hands. Repentance. Humble yourself before God. And if you do that, he will exalt you in the end. Yes, you can clean up your dirty hands. You can clean out the old leaven. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7. You didn't have that on the screen. It's on your paper. And Titus 1, verse 16. There are those, they say they know God, and yet they have dirty hands. Well, as far as I know God, and so I'm going to be pleasing to him. In 1 John chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 3 through 6, Brett has highlighted this a lot in the teenage class, and when he taught his adult Bible class, Book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. How do we know that we know him? If we keep his commandments. The one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him, by the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked, keeping his commandments. Yes, but professing to know God by their deeds, they deny him. So as you think about concerning your life, we can say all the good things, all the right things. Pharisees said a lot of right things, but the whole thing is you looked upon their corrupt hearts and dirty hands, having Jesus crucified. And he was willing to suffer and die that agonizing death and give him time after time, opportunity after opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ, to clean up their life. By God's word, you can be cleansed. We think about the world needs to be cleansed. Well, how are they going to do that? Peter said in the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent, and each of you be baptized." Where's your authority for that, Peter? It wasn't his opinion or his feeling. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." For what purpose? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So by God's word, you can be cleansed of every thought, of every word, of every deed, and be forgiven and clean having been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Purified your souls in obedience to the truth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. By God's word, by his incorruptible word. And the Apostle Peter told the brethren, this is the word which is preached to you, which we're still allowed to be preached today. You look upon a Christian who sinned. Simon the sorcerer desired to buy the gift of God with money. He had been baptized. He was a Christian. He was told to repent and pray. Although Acts 11 verse 26, disciple of Christ, if you will. They weren't first called Christians first until Antioch. But he was told to repent and pray that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. It starts with godly sorrow. And 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Just saying I'm sorry is not good enough as far as God is concerned. Yes, that's a start, but the whole thing is that as you look upon your life, I've done this to God. I'm sorry. I have this godly sorrow as looked at the example of Peter going out and weeping bitterly after denying him three times that he knew him. There's no regret. We have that godly sorrow leading to repentance. By God's word, you can be cleansed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not if we make excuses or justify or rationalize our sins. God knows if we're doing that. We should know too. Don't deceive yourselves. I shouldn't deceive myself. As you think about dirty hands and use your clean hands for good in Ephesians 4 and verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will what? That he will have something to share with one who has need. Using our hands for good. How can you clean up your spiritual house? Humble yourself before God. Admit and confess your faults. We got to take out the garbage, don't we? Get the garbage out. Put God's word in so that you'll have love, joy, and peace rather than worry, doubt, and fear with everything that's going on in the world. You can have that clean heart, that undivided attention to God's word. As we think about the example of Mary versus Martha. Martha was worried and troubled about so many things. Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part. She's listening. She's listening to his word. As you read, study, and meditate and practice God's will, you'll be holy and be able to use your tongue for good instead of evil. Don't deceive yourself into thinking you know God when you're not obeying him. Obey the gospel. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's good. Repent of your sins. Change your will for God's will. Confess your faith that he is the Son of God. Be buried with Christ in baptism that you might rise to walk in newness of life. You can go from here rejoicing. If as a Christian you've fallen back into sinful practices, you can be restored through repentance and prayer, as we noticed with Simon the sorcerer. Judgment day is coming. We're going to be judged by the deeds done in the body. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day to come? Jesus has promised to give you rest. The hymn is 333. Go ahead and open up your books to 333. Jesus will give you rest. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to Jesus, obey the gospel. Be baptized for remission of sins. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.